Shalom is a special word. It's a special word. You know, Jesus didn't just say, "Peace be with you, brother." That wasn't what he said. When he said peace, he said shalom. So that means all the blessings of God, all the healing of God, all the prosperity of God, all the peace of God, everything that is wrapped up in salvation fall on you. That's what he was saying. Amen. That's when we're talking about peace, the shalom of God. Nothing missing, nothing broken. You noticed when we were praying that I turned to Ephesians. There are two prayers in Ephesians that are for believers. I didn't know we were going to do this today, but open your Bibles up to Ephesians, and we'll study these two prayers. These prayers, well, we're going to have communion, but I want everybody to get a chance to look at these prayers. Ephesians chapter 1. Verse 15 is the first one, verse 15 through 23, and Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14 through 21. Those prayers are for believers. You know, we pray for the lost, but we also, when we got somebody that we know is born again and they're wandering around out there like a duck in a hailstorm, that's the prayer we pray for them. So that they can come back into the knowledge of Christ, so they can walk in that freedom. So if I could, I just wanted to point those two prayers out to people so they know them. But if we could, can I have a couple people help me with the communion, and then we'll go on. Father, we thank you for the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you that this perfect man, this perfect sacrifice, got beaten and bruised for us. And we thank you that he took stripes on his back for our healing. We thank you that his body was pierced and he shed blood and we get redemption. We thank you, Father, that when he got on the cross, he took the full wrath of your fiery judgment. The judgment that was meant for us, he took it all on himself, and he did it for us. Father, we thank you that you treated Jesus the way we deserve to be treated, so that now, you can treat us the way Jesus deserved to be treated. We thank you for that broken body and that perfect sacrifice. And we receive this healing in our bodies. In Jesus' name. Father, we honor the shed blood of Jesus, and we thank you for it. We thank you that that blood of Jesus is still alive, and it's still doing what you intended it to do. It completely cleanses us from all our sins, and it continually washes us from all sin. Father, the blood of your Son, Jesus, protects us. And it seals in the New Testament promises for us. And it's because of the blood of Jesus that we have boldness to enter into the throne room of grace and receive mercy and grace in times of need. It's because of His blood that we can go into Your presence and talk to You one-on-one. We thank You for this in Jesus' name. Augie, are you ready to make the great escape? Okay. Don't forget the littlest one. Uh-oh. Oh, there she is. Not studying the book of Acts today like we have been. We've been taking an adventure through the book of Acts, but because sometimes, I don't know if you've ever noticed this, but you can have a relative, maybe a child or a husband or anybody that you know is born again, but they're just out there in no man's land. And you keep praying and praying and praying for them. But did you know that God had Paul, by the Holy Spirit, put two prayers in the book of Ephesians for believers that are just not seem to be living the way they're supposed to be? And these are the prayers he wrote them down for. You know, a lot of people want to try to use these on non-believers. And that's just not the case. These prayers are for believers that just don't seem to be getting it done. So let's look at this first one. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15. This is actually a prayer for revelation. Think about that for just a second. Revelation. When you get a revelation of God's word, that means you get a rhema word. That means you know something inside of you. Not just up here. See, this is where a lot of people run into trouble. They think they got it up here, and then pretty soon the wind and waves of life carry them off, and they're just kind of lost. You know they're born again. They just don't seem to be born again. They don't act like it. And even worse, somebody will show up in church and get born again, and then they'll go out there and they'll, you know. In case you haven't noticed, they still have to live life on life's own terms. And until they learn something about the Word of God and learn how to draw from the Bible, they're not going to be able to live the way a lot of people expect them to live. So here's one of the things that this irritates me. Somebody will get born again in a meeting somewhere, in a church somewhere, and they go home and the chaos of their old life is still in full effect. And then maybe they don't end up in church right away. Or maybe they're still acting kind of crazy. You know, sometimes there's like a 30-day grace period for people. They seem to be, it's weird, they seem to be protected. And it seems like almost anything they ask for just happens. You know, they pray and that, boom, it happens. And then after that 30-day grace period is over, it's like their little pink cloud got popped and they crash to the ground and life is life again. The wind and the waves are there. All the troubles are there. Their emotions are the same. They act the same. And then somebody will say, Well, they didn't really get born again. Yes, they did. Yes, they did. They just didn't get the Word in them. They haven't had enough time to get their mind renewed to the Word of God. They haven't had enough time to learn how to walk by faith and draw from the Bible and rely on Jesus. See, there's a little bit of time. It's going to take a little bit of time to learn these things. What our job is, instead of saying, well, they didn't just get born again, it was just an act, it was just a show, is these prayers right here. They really did get born again. The only thing they know is Jesus died on the cross for their sins and God raised them back to life, and they asked Him to be their Lord and Savior. Now what our job is, starts in verse 15, wherefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. The spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. These guys are running around out there like a chicken with their head cut off a lot of times. If they could get the spirit of wisdom and revelation because they find out something about Jesus, in the knowledge of Jesus, they find out one more thing. They got one light bulb. They're born again. That's a light bulb. One light's on. If they can find out next, maybe, you know, that they became the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Or if they could find out maybe that they have been forgiven 100%, that their sins have been washed completely away. That's another light. Maybe they can find out that the peace of God will come through the fellowship of Jesus. Through focusing on Him. If we can just pray for them to get one more morsel of revelation, that's one more light. That's a lot. That's a lot. In a world that seems to demand perfection and high performance in people, we need to just stop and accept the fact that people are going to grow in baby steps. They're going to go from one revelation to the next revelation, from grace to grace, a little bit at a time. God in His perfect love for us never expected us to learn everything perfectly immediately. He doesn't. He just wants us to keep coming to Him and getting some more. You need to give yourself a break and give other people a break and accept the fact that they're going to grow a little bit at a time. One analogy, one really, really good analogy was this professional horseman one time said, "Can you improve your horse by 1% every day?" Some people might say, "Yeah, of course." And he said, "Okay, in 100 days, I want you to bring this colt to me as a finished reining horse." You're not going to do it. You're not going to do it. You're going to let it grow a little bit at a time. That's the same way people are. That's the same way Christians are. We spend, sometimes 30 years learning things wrong. And then all of a sudden we get born again and we're expected to know everything right immediately? No. God does not expect that. But he did give us these prayers that we can pray for our loved ones and other believers to help them. Don't you suppose it would be good for them to have that spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of Him? That would be a good thing. Then verse 18 says that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. See, it's a little bit confusing sometimes. You know, when you get born again and you start reading the Bible and all of a sudden you're sitting there thinking, oh my God, what does all this mean? How am I ever going to get this? You know, I got so frustrated. One time I threw the Bible down and I said, I can't do it. And I was 100% right. And that was the only right answer that I could give to God. I said, I can't do it. But Jesus did it. If I can express to anybody in here, if you're trying really, really hard, if you're reading your Bible so that you can qualify for God's blessings, if you're praying all the time so you can qualify for God's blessings, if you're going to church every Sunday, every time the doors swing open to qualify for God's blessings, stop! You've already qualified for God's blessings when you became His child, when you said, Jesus, be my Lord. And now you read the Bible to find out what He's already given you. Amen? Now you read the Bible to get more knowledge of Him. Now you're not seeking the blessings, you're just seeking the blesser. The more you know of Him, the more of Him is going to flow into you and through you, and all the blessings are wrapped up in Him. So just focus on Him. The wind and waves, you know, I don't know if you've ever noticed this, but the wind and waves are still there. You know, you get born again. It's amazing to me how many times people show up and they seem to be shocked that there's problems. Like the problems were supposed to go away when you got born again. No, the problems are still going to be there. The wind and the waves are always going to be there. The financial challenges are going to be there. The health challenges are going to be there. Your kids running around being an idiot, that's always going to be a possibility. Your spouse being an idiot, that's always going to be a possibility. There's numerous challenges that people are going to face. But it's the life of Christ in you that is going to cause you to overcome those wind and waves. You know something about Peter? He was in a boat. And they got in a big storm. And Jesus come walking out on that water. And Peter said, if it be you, bid me to come. And he said, come on. And Peter jumped out of the boat and he walked on water. He was walking on water. A lot of people like to focus on the sinking part. But Peter was walking on that water. He was doing just fine. He was looking at Jesus and he was walking on that water. And then he started looking at the wind and the waves and he started sinking. People do that every day. How do we do that? Well, we start by walking out in faith, and we got our eyes focused on the promises of God. And then we start looking around at the circumstances. We start hearing the reports of our friends, you know, say something to attack your body, and you go to church and you pray the prayer of faith and you got to promise God that by His stripes I was healed, and you're stepping out in faith and you're walking on that word. You're standing on the promise of God. And then your buddy comes up and said, you know, I Googled your symptoms and you got 3 days left. You run to the doctor and the doctor says, you got two. And then all of a sudden you're thinking, whoa, did I not pray right? Did I do this wrong? Did I do that? And then you start relying. What you're doing is you're relying on your own abilities. You're no longer focused on Jesus. So the wind and the waves start sinking you. Because you got your eye off the Word of God and got it on the circumstances. Can anybody tell me what do wind and waves have to do with walking on water? I don't know. I never walked on water, but I don't know what wind and waves have to do with walking on water. But as long as Peter had his eyes on Jesus, he was walking on that water. It gets pretty hard to focus, especially for new believers. They try to get the whole thing in one little box. And they get frustrated. And then they try this next thing, and then they try this next thing. And I've been through this deal. And then they hear about this book over here, and they hear about this book over here, and this study over here, and this book over here, and this study over here. And this preacher, he's saying some pretty cool stuff. And then this church has a pretty cool praise and worship band. And then pretty soon you're just running in circles like a scared little rat. And you still don't have your answers. And you're just confused and frustrated and you want to give up. Just stop. Just stop. Kenneth Copeland said one of the most profound things I ever heard of. I don't know if I'd have enough nerve to do this. But he said he was flying in an airplane and he was taught that when something happens to your airplane, the first thing you're supposed to do is nothing. So, dude, I'm pushing a button or I'm pulling a lever or something. But the first thing you're supposed to do is nothing. Why? So you don't overreact and cause things to get worse. You realize life is like that all the time? We always want to fix something now, and we end up overreacting. We end up causing more problems. And it drives people crazy when something happens, you know, and there's chaos, and they come to me and they say, well, what are we going to do? And I say, we ain't going to do nothing right now. What do you mean? We're not going to do anything right now. We're going to let the dust settle, and then we'll pick up the pieces. But we're not going to make things worse by trying something that's just going to cause more friction. So do you see why sometimes you got to just stop? Regain your focus. The Bible tells us that we're supposed to walk by faith, not by sight. That's what Peter was doing. He was walking by faith. When he started, he was walking by faith, not by sight. And as long as he kept his eyes on Jesus, which, by the way, is the Word. You want to see what Jesus looks like? Open up the New Testament. Jesus is the Word. The Word is Jesus. They will always agree. Keep your eye focused on that Word. We used to put blinkers on horses so that they would look straight down the track. People need to be the same way. Get your blinkers on and look straight at Jesus. Look straight at His Word. Don't look at anything else. I don't care what mama says. I don't care what your doctor says. I don't care what your buddy says. I don't care what you learned in school. If it doesn't agree with the Word of God, don't focus on it. Look at the Word of God. Are we opened up to the Word of God so that we may know what is the hope of His calling and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance is in the saints? Verse 19 goes on to say, what is the exceeding greatness of His power towards us? As we believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in heavenly places. You ever think about that once? The mighty power of God. The very same Holy Spirit that raised you back, that raised Jesus back to life, is the very same Holy Spirit that did that special operation in your heart when you got born again. That's the very same Holy Spirit that turned your heart from a heart of stone into a heart of flesh. And then the law of God got wrote on your heart. Not the Old Testament laws, but the law of liberty, the law of faith, law of love. Did you know we still have some laws to keep? The law of love, the law of faith, and the law of liberty. They're easy laws to keep. If you focus on Jesus. If you focus on you, you're going to break them almost immediately. But if you focus on Jesus, when you focus on Him, you're doing a couple things. You're getting your mindset in the direction of the solution. And you're getting your mind off of the problem. When you focus on the problem, it's going to get bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. But when you focus on Jesus, your problems are going to get smaller and smaller and smaller. I'm not denying that the problems aren't there. You know, the financial challenges, they're there. The sicknesses there. The family problems are there. All the problems, they're still there. But you get your mind focused on the answer, those problems will dwindle. And then here's the key. This will shoot you right over the top. You start praising God. The Bible tells us to offer up the sacrifice of praise. Now, if it's a sacrifice, that means it's probably not an easy thing. See, it's really easy and fun to worship God and praise God when you're on top of the mountain and you got a windfall of money, you know, and things are going good. You got the good job. Everything's going good, you know, and smooth sailing. You can get your hands up in the air. You can shout hallelujah and praise God and everything's wonderful. How about if there's sickness in your body or the finances aren't quite there, and nothing seems to be going right, and there's one challenge right after another, and you just feel like a stomped on rat. And you're in the valley, and it seems like there's a cloud over you all the time. This is your answer. Get your hands up and praise God. Whoa. I don't feel like it. I don't feel good. I don't feel spiritual. I don't feel holy. I don't feel righteous. I don't feel nothing. Get your hands up and say, thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, for taking care of me. Thank you, Father, that I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Thank you, Father, for protecting me. Thank you, Father, for guiding me. Thank you, Father, for letting me find something to thank God for. You're praising God. Praise steals the adventure. the avenger, stops him in his tracks. And it takes that monstrous problem that you had built up in your head, puts it back under your feet where it's supposed to be. And I'm glad we're on this. I'm getting a little bit high off of this. This is kind of fun. I don't know about you guys, but I get a rush out of this kind of stuff. Then, when you understand that when you got born again, here in verse 21, it says that you've been put far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And he's put all things under his feet, gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. When you got born again, you got placed into the body of Christ. That means that you got seated at the right hand of God, and all of your challenges, all of your problems, all of your sicknesses, all of your financial difficulties, absolutely everything that comes against you has been placed under your feet. There's too many people that are fighting for victory, as if they're under the circumstances. When you learn that you're fighting from victory ground, that means the victory is already yours. You're just enforcing it. You're not fighting for the victory. You already have the victory. You're just making it happen in the name of Jesus. You know, cancer is a name that's been placed under your feet. Sickness, all sicknesses, all these things, you know, these scientists come up with these names and they're that long and almost impossible to pronounce and they just sound horrible. And then people take these and it gets in their minds and it just blows up into a huge thing and it causes fear. It's not supposed to be that way. I read an interesting thing. The doctors didn't used to treat cancer and sickness and diseases back in the day. They used to treat vitamin and mineral deficiencies. Isn't that something? God gave us every plant, herb, animal to eat. And then I ran into a really interesting thing. There was this woman in New Mexico that had a 3D telescope. And she could look at your blood cells and tell you how you was raised when you was a kid. She could tell you what you used to eat when you was a kid. She said, you started off really good eating vegetables and meat that you was supposed to eat, and you was drinking milk, and you was eating things that God gave you to eat. And then you got off of that diet and you started eating these man-made processed things and your body started falling apart. One lady came to our church. She wrote a book and she said she could lose her credentials. She was a scientist, a doctor. And she said, I'm going to tell you flat out, you're supposed to eat the things that God told you to eat. She said, I get up in the morning, I eat bacon and eggs every morning. toast with butter on it, real butter on it. And then she said, she kind of snacked through the lunchtime, you know, kind of did whatever. But lunch, at supper time, she ate a piece of cow meat with a baked potato swimming in butter. You know, God knows more about what you're supposed to be eating than anybody else does. But here's the thing. We're supposed to have our focus on Jesus. Have our focus on Him and Him alone for our well-being and our healing. Not our diet. Not anything else. You know, God gave the Jewish people a peculiar diet to eat, a particular diet to eat. And they did this. Even Peter said, I never let any foul thing enter my mouth. Said, I ate only what I was supposed to do. Kosher, they said, a kosher diet. Did you know that Jesus healed a whole bunch of people that were on that kosher diet? It's not your diet, it's your faith in Him and His finished work on that cross. Now, if He tells you to not eat something, then don't. But don't make a lie out of it. And it drives me crazy when religious people tell people not to eat this stuff. And it really drives me crazy when people that should know better, Word of Faith people, try to tell people, you shouldn't eat pig meat. You shouldn't eat bottom feeders. They have a real hard time with me. Because I'm going to eat pig meat. I'm going to eat every bottom feeder that crosses my path. I'm going to eat bacon. And you're not going to judge me for it. But God will say every once in a while, say, man, you need to stop eating some of this stuff. It'll make you feel better if you would. That's my big challenge right now. I smell those brownies and I love chocolate brownies. I love chocolate brownies. They make my stomach hurt so bad. Because if you just knock it off, you'd be all right. Well, it's the sugar. The man-made processed sugar that's causing me the problem. So I just had to back off. And Reese's peanut butter cups are just to die for. But it's got to stop. But it's still our faith in Jesus that's going to get us over the hump. It's not our special diet. Amen? It's okay to eat good. It's a good thing to eat good. But it's more important to put your faith in Jesus and His finished work. The Bible tells us to believe on Him. How do we do that? Well, if you have a sickness attack your body, then you believe on His finished work, where it is by His stripes that you are healed. If you need finances, then you believe in His finished work on that cross, where it says that for our sake, He became rich. He became poor so that we could become rich. Amen. For I know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for our sake He became poor so that we could be rich. Did you know that's not an effort on our part? It was all on Him. We put our faith on Him. We receive from Him. And we have something to give. Amen. Here's a really cool thing. When you give something to somebody, And I really like this, and the Bible tells us about this. And when you give to the poor, they thank God. And they thank God for you. That's pretty cool. And then also, it tells us about those alms. You don't go around talking about them, you just do them. But the Bible tells us when you lend unto the poor, you lend unto God. And God will repay that. God will not be a debtor to any man. He owes nobody anything. See, these are some things that happen through that one little prayer that have come into my understanding of who Jesus is. My eyes have been opened up. I have a revelation of who He is in there. I have no doubt in my heart that somebody was praying for me. I believe somebody was praying that prayer for me. Now we can pray that prayer for somebody else. You know, you can pay it forward. Amen? We're not going to get to the next one. We'll be here for a long time. We'll get to that one next Sunday. But that's one really good weapon that you can use to fight for your loved ones. Amen? So thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus, for this opportunity to worship you in spirit and in truth, and for the Holy Spirit who is always here to teach us and guide us and to show us how to rightfully divide your word of truth so that the eyes of our understanding can be enlightened so that we can get a revelation of who Jesus is and what He's done, who we are in Him, who He is in us, what He's done to us, what He's done through us, and what He's done for us, and what He has for us. Father, we thank You for Holy Spirit, who is always here to help teach us how we can receive more of Him in us, so that we can decrease and He can increase. We thank You for this. In Jesus' name, amen.